Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 8 of the Fun Times Gamecast. It is September 9th, Monday, September 9th, 2013, and today we're actually early! This will probably be the earliest we ever do this podcast, but anyways, we do want to put a quick apology out for not having a podcast last week. Unfortunately, we totally kind of forgot that it was a major holiday over here in the States, Labor Day, and most of us were not available to make a podcast. So we do apologize.
Yeah, we were all really, really drunk. Right, Jack?
What are you talking about? I don't drink. Anyways, so we'll get right into things now. We'll start with our normal thing. What have we been playing and what we will be playing. And it'll be a two-week span, so if anything has been doing for the past 2 weeks, go ahead and say it. So we'll start with Mr. Borador. Go ahead.
I've only been playing one game for the last 2 weeks. I think everybody's quite shocked at this one.
Really? No.
It's just been Final Fantasy, Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I would have never guessed that one.
No kidding.
And Mr. Narmisil, I'm going to guess you're the same way.
Yes, but as we all know, last week when they were still having server problems and I couldn't get on, I took some time to play Saints Row, a little bit of Fallout New Vegas, but the majority of my time has been spent playing Final Fantasy.
Oh, man. This is sweet.
Now, you guys, I'm going to guess that you guys will be playing Final Fantasy quite often from here on out.
Yar.
Until I can get some time on ESO. Yep.
Alrighty. Mocha, have you done anything recently?
Well, I played a little Rift and some beer, which certain people in this our little community can't take.
Oh God, Jack. Kill it with fire.
The little girl scares me.
True that.
And right now I'm checking out this new Voyager ship that I found for Minecraft.
Mm-hmm. Seems to be very big news on the Minecraft communities with this giant Voyager suspended in air.
Oh, okay. Boy, you won't believe.
I think they need to make Deep Space Nine. Then I'd be impressed.
I actually have nothing.
Starfleet Academy.
It'd be interesting if you want to try to work on it. But I'll tell you one thing. And this guy's attention to detail is magnificent.
I'm always amazed by the builds that people can put out in Minecraft. Crazy. And what do you have planned for the next week there, Mocha?
Oh, well, I still had that project I'm still currently trying to work on, so I'll be doing that, and then playing a more Rift, and probably some more Fear. Maybe even Minecraft.
Okay. As for me, the big secret is out of the bag. I have been actually playing Final Fantasy, and even though I started and I was higher than both Borador and Mr. Narmisil there, I kind of took a step back and started something new, and I'm enjoying it more than actually, like, leveling up a character normally. I've been straight up crafting and gathering, and I think I'm pretty much just going to do this until I max it out. I think that'll be what I do.
That's a lot of Legends of Hand to get done.
Yeah, but to be honest, man, I'm making quite a bit of gil, and I'm really, I don't know if it's the money calling.
Of course, it's the money. It's always the money.
No,
was supposed to be the crystals call you were heeding.
He's heeding the call of frickin' monies.
I heed the call of Cthulhu.
Oh, well, all I can say brighter. Is that I found the conference room and the bridge. Yeah.
So yes, that's what I have been doing in the game for the next week. Actually, I've played a couple mobile games as well. I jumped back onto what's it called? Fruit Ninja for a little bit there.
Cheers.
And Adult Swim came out with a new game, and I totally forgot what it was, but it's some kind of boulder, and you're running over things with a boulder, and yeah, who doesn't like destroying things with a giant boulder? So that's what I've been doing. For the next week, I'll just be continuing crafting, because I'm going to be the free company supplier.
The free company Scrooge McDuck, in other words.
I am Rich Uncle Jack. Yes, so with that, we'll go right into news, and we're going to actually jump right into Final Fantasy news. We're going to start off with Mr. Narmasil. We had some great strides in Final Fantasy along the lines of a free company, correct?
Yes.
Why don't you go announce what's what happened?
After a long, arduous grind, we finally got the free company up and running. The Forest Guardians is now floating around the Adamantoids server.
So come along, find Borador at Borador Duran, Narmasil at Narmasil Ravenblood, or me at Liana Swift Arrow. Hit one of us up and we'll get you into the free company if you want to hang out and play with us. With that, Final Fantasy news, what we're going to do is, because we didn't have a podcast last week, we're going to go into some of the new noteworthy news from last week. So Final Fantasy news from last week, like 2 weeks ago, that is, not this past week. Final Fantasy 14 has gained such an immense popularity. They actually had to shut down digital purchases. Mr. Borador, is the digital purchases available now?
Not to my knowledge, not yet. I haven't seen anything on the Lodestone stating otherwise. Because I'm on that website every damn day.
Along with this, there was many servers that did not allow anybody to make new characters until this issue was resolved. It was actually resolved, though, as of last Wednesday, am I correct?
I think so, yes.
Okay. Yes, on top of that, anybody who had a subscription has also received an extension of 7 days free game time to their accounts. So now that this update has actually been out and everything like that, how has the gameplay been? Remember, so login information, things like that.
Logging in definitely got better. What was previously happening was the servers were so full that the queues were getting completely filled up, to the point where you would try to log in and there wasn't even a spot in the queue. So you would get the dreaded error 1017 boss. I believe what they did was they upped the server capacity from something like 5,000 to maybe 7,500 or so. That drastically reduced the error 1017s almost to the point of non-existence. I personally haven't seen it at all. Logging in, I either go straight into the game or I get right into the queue. There hasn't been an error since.
And what was your highest queue number?
264.
Okay. Borador, you kind of just kept yourself logged in anyway, so you had...
Yep, and since I work overnights, I get, you know, I go to log on at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I haven't seen it. The only time I seen a queue or anything was really... trying to log in after 10 o'clock in the morning or last weekend where I could not log in whatsoever.
And as for myself, I'm all over. Sometimes I'm early, sometimes I'm late, sometimes not at all. But I have actually not even gotten into a queue. I have just been shot right into the game at all times. So I am quite happy that I don't have to sit there and spam start in my character or start my character over and over again. So that's done. Also, 2 weeks ago, Steam had greenlit 100 games. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be listing all 100 games, but we want to reach a say congratulations to all those that have been greenlit. And I want to take this time on how you guys feel about Steam greenlighting 100 different games. Things like what the general perspective of greenlight might be now. And will this benefit the indie devs and things like that? Mocha, I believe you've had a little bit of insight or something you had wanted to say with this.
Yeah, it's nice to see that they are taking the initiative and putting out more green lights, but the only thing I see as a downfall is that the indie developers with such a mass green lighting won't get the recognition or the prestige that they would have got if they would just allow 7 or 14 to be greenlit at a time. They should really only do 7 to 14 at a time, but maybe put it at a interval of every other week or every 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks out, do a release instead of this massive 100 greenlit.
Okay.
That's my feelings anyhow, because it's only fair to the indie developers.
Alrighty. So, Narm, what do you think about this?
I can tell you one person it definitely does not benefit, or one thing it does not benefit, and that is my wallet. Damn it, Steam sale! Why?
Oh, it's not technically. Well, actually, they did have a sale at one point, in conjunction with the greenlit of 100 games. Anything that was apparently already available on Greenlight was like knocked down from like, I think it was like 50 to 75% or something like that. So
my question would be, is this going to be a regular thing with Steam greenlighting so many, or is this just a one thing because of their anniversary of it?
As far as I know, it would just had to do with the anniversary. I believe they actually stated themselves that it was the anniversary. So, yeah.
So it's sort of like a one-time deal. Let's hope that's the same with the acknowledgement of all the green lighting of the games, too.
Mm-hmm. Bordor, do you have anything that you have any views on this at all?
My wallet is screaming in pain.
I can hear it suffering. Anything else?
The way I look at it is more games is a good thing to me.
Okay. Yeah, more games is all good and dandy. However, you're going to lose the indie developers are going to lose a lot of prestige and acknowledgement that you would get from a limited number being greenlit at a time. Yeah. Instead of mass bulk green lighting.
That's where I have mixed views for this. Yes. Green lighting 100 games, awesome. There's 100 more games that we get to choose from, decide what we want to play and everything like that. But I can honestly say that the first time I looked at the list and I was looking through it, and I was reading it, I was like, oh, that one's cool, that one's cool, that one's cool, I gotta check this one out, I gotta check, and so forth and so on. And then I had my list that I didn't like. I totally forgot what those were because there's just so many that now I have to go through the list again, and then I'll probably have to go through the list again. You know, on top of that, I had one little gripe that I kind of found, like it's just something that came out of nowhere about the green light system. When you go to thumbs up, it actually asks you the question, would you purchase this game? Okay. So here's my thing. If I go up to you and say, here's a straw, would you purchase this? What's your first question?
Why are you handing me a straw?
No, don't worry about that as a straw.
What does it do for me?
Even before that.
How much does it cost?
There you go. how much does it cost? Now, this, there could be a, that's the biggest thing that I've been worrying about, is kind of like, I like the way this game is. How much is it going to cost, though? Yeah, I'll give it a thumbs up, but would I buy it at 10 or would I buy it at 5? So it's not like an accurate assumption when you're given this thumbs up as far as
I would buy everything at 50.
I would definitely not.
You're out of your mind.
Exactly. I'm sorry. But,
man, it's more money to go help a little dev.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you put out the game that I feel like it, I will pay for the money that, pay for it that I believe the money is due. But I'm not paying a $60 game that felt like it's supposed to be $5 or $10. But as far as the whole dev recognition, again, I didn't, when a few of the other ones came out beforehand that were greenlit, I did a lot more research on it. Now that there's like 5-10 different games that I was interested in this 100 games, I didn't go into much research about the devs or anything like that. So I do understand where the whole dev recognition is kind of falling by the wayside here. So does anybody else have anything to add to this comment?
It's also like, sorry, I didn't get to check out Random Jack's all super awesome Chocobo adventure because I already spent all my money on 98 other games. Sorry, Jack.
And then by the time, you know, you do have the money, Borador's super awesome Chocobo Adventures 2 comes out and one just kind of...
For 50 bucks.
All right, Mr. Scrooge.
Smartass.
Alrighty, so we're going to go into a little bit of Gearbox news along the lines of Borderlands. Remember, again, this is 2 weeks ago. This happened 2 weeks ago. Gearbox has announced that Borderlands 2 Game of the Year Super Bundle is coming out. It will include the main game, Captain Scarlet and her pirate's booty. Mr. Torg's Campaign of Carnage, Sir Hammerlock's Big Game Hunt, Tiny Tina's Assault on the Dragon Keep, Creature Slaughter Dawn, Gage the Mechromancer, Gearbox Gun Pack, Golden Key, Vault Hunter Relic, Craig the Psycho, Collector's Edition Heads and Skins, and the Ultimate Vault Hunter Upgrade Pack 1. This will be available on October 11th. Because who can't get enough? Who can't get enough of Borderlands?
I sworn I heard somebody say they were making Borderlands on a freaking mobile platform.
They have it out.
They do?
Yeah, there's one for the iOS.
Talk about it.
This happened a while ago. There's an iOS Borderlands or something. I forgot what it was called.
That's got to be horrible.
Borderlands MMO, anybody?
It wasn't the same as... Borderlands, it was more, I think, like a RTS or something like that. And Narmacel, I would love a Borderlands RTS.
Border Worlds?
You mean MMO?
MMO, yes. Just think about it. You know, every world has a vault, or the dungeons are the vaults, or something along that line. I think it would be quite possible. I'm just imagining it now. Sorry. But we gotta continue on. BioWare has created something called the, or is creating something called the Dragon Age Keep. Basically, what this does is a tool for both new and returning players, in which you can choose actions that you would have chosen in the original Dragon Age and Dragon Age 2. And what this is, I believe that they were having problems exporting some of the saves from, their game right now. And into the new Inquisition. So you don't have to sit there and play all the games over again in order to have the storyline the way you want it to be.
Aw, but I just bought Dragon Age 1.
By all means, that doesn't mean you don't have to play it.
Ultimate Edition for like $1.
You can actually apply for the Dragon Age Keep beta at Dragon Age Keep beta, DragonAgeKeep.com. Though nobody will be allowed to be in the beta until the beta is basically not coming out until sometime next year.
The beta is in beta. Get it?
No, don't get it.
No, I would think that would be alpha or pre-alpha. Development stages. Who knows? But next year sometime. Minecraft is getting an update, and as of speaking now, the actual snapshot is out. It will introduce better terrain generation. It is supposed to add new biomes and new code that will create more logical climate zones. It will do away with the vast featureless oceans.
My question is, are we going to have to rebuild everything, or can we import old maps?
You will not be able to import old maps.
Because every time they update Minecraft, everything breaks.
Especially if you're talking in the realm of mods, like Feed the Beast.
I can honestly say that probably every mod that has to do with any land generation or biomes, extra biomes, more biomes, anything like that, will be broken because they are adding in four new biomes, I believe.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean that those if the worlds don't have those biomes in it, it shouldn't be broken because you're running off of the old biomes to begin with.
Basically, what would happen is anything that has been generated on your world will be generated the way it was, so you're not going to get any benefit from this new generation if it was compatible. I don't know if it is or not, to be honest. But let's just say it is. Everything that has been generated already will be the old generation. So if you sat there and traveled along this vast features ocean for hours and hours, something like our server is, we'd have to travel quite a long way to find this new generation.
That'd be interesting. I died on a ship. Now I just found it again.
Along with that, they're kind of putting meta biomes, and this is a meta biomes. This is basically another thing that might be a problem with existing worlds being ported over to new worlds. Each biome that's already out and the four new ones, which are Redwood Forest, Rocky Cliffs, and Canyons, three. are getting a subclassification of a kind of like a climate. So there's going to be like snowy, cold, medium, and dry warm. So something along the lines of snowy and cold will not be able to be touching anything that's dry warm. So you'll not see a glacier near
a desert.
And apparently the higher that you go up in the world, snow will form, so it gets colder as you travel higher as well. It'll be interesting, so we have to wait.
Yeah.
Once everything is fixed after it's all broken.
Well, the thing is, the reason why I was asking is that now that I found this world with the Voyager in it, I really like to keep it and have it be able to play on it if I decide to in the with the new 1.7 that's coming out.
To be honest, we just kind of have to wait and see how it all turns around when it does come out.
Duly noted.
Our next news is that Diablo 3 will be getting a free update before the DLC comes out. Even if you're not planning to get the DLC, you're entitled to this as long as you own the game. Mr. Kevin Martins, who is the lead content designer, says you're going to get all the loot. You're going to get all the new item types, going to get the new legendary affixes. You're going to get the new gem type, which is the diamond. And you're going to get all the changes to the rules. The smart drop system, the targeted drop system. Probably you'll get loot runs. We haven't figured that one out yet. And probably you'll get Paragon, etc., etc. So basically, kind of along the lines is you just won't get the DLC stuff, the new worlds, and the new class.
The new act, the new class.
Yeah. She'll get everything else.
So do you think the pricing is going to be, you know, 60 to 150? Think they'll put out a collector's edition?
Have they put out collector's editions for the previous Diablos DLCs expansions?
I don't know, but they did have a collector's edition for Heart of the Swarm.
I'm hoping not. To be honest,
in this day and age, it's not only possible, but I would say that it's likely.
Yeah, it's very, very likely. I'd rather it be like a $30, $40 range than a $60 range, to be honest. Because again, it's just an expansion pack. It's not the full game. But we'll just kind of have to wait. There has been some awesome EverQuest news regarding EQ Next Landmark that has surfaced from PAX. Again, just to let everybody know, this is news from 2 weeks ago. Players respawn near landmarks. These landmarks are protected areas which can be teleported to. They will act as social hubs and player marketplaces. It was also hinted that there is a deep simulated economy. Players will then explore to gather resources and stake out land claims almost anywhere on the procedurally generated continents. Most building resources you will need to buy from other players or gather, though there are some super commons such as dirt, which all players will have pretty much an unlimited supply of. It was asked if players can stake claims in subterranean areas, and the answer was probably. Landmark will have mounts, and they will move like player characters. For example, they can slide down hills and slide down steep hills, but they won't do those fancy, awesome parkour tricks. Players will be able to move between servers at any times. There will be friends list, text chat, voice chat, and the SOE emote. There will be a tool that will allow players to record high-speed versions of their builds, so and they can publish them directly to YouTube. There will be a guild system as well as a co-op build-out system for temporarily grouping up to work on larger projects without that full guild structure. Landmark characters will be transferable to EQ Next when it is released. And if you play Landmark, you will be unlocking the Adventurer class in EQ Next. So that is one way that you can get one of those 40 classes in EQ Next.
Yeah, and the nice thing about the EQ Landmarks is they finally got the dwarves right. The elven dwarves, female dwarves, will now be able to support beards.
Yes, that was
well as the men.
That was actually one of the roundtable questions a while back. It was probably one of the first of the four roundtable questions, I believe. And it had options like no, yes, let the player decide, and such like that. And a lot of the, I think the majority kind of said, let the player decide. Let it be in there, and it'll be, you know, they can make it with it, or they can make it without it. So again, this is one of the ways that the EQ Next team is trying to get the community involved with their game.
I'm just glad to see that they're doing that, because that'll bring the, what do you want to call it, the lure around the dwarves more closer, or the gameplay more closer to the lure for them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It has been said that it has been a while back that it was mentioned that you were able to make money, real life money, by selling some of your creations on EQ Next from EQ Landmark. It has now been said that you'll be able to sell your actual plot of land in Landmark for real life money, its location and all the content that's on it. So if you have your real estate license, you know, you can get up in there and make some nice money staking out, you know, the triple starred land, properties next to the cop.
I know you want my land. Can you afford the price?
And, speaking of that, that kind of brings in a unique situation, because now with them being able to sell plots of land, what's to keep the gold sellers from jumping on the bandwagon and making money that way?
It's all quite a possibility, but I can honestly say that a straight, unaltered plot of land will not go for much, because they have announced that you will be able to either purchase or earn more plots of land. So, if you're able to purchase a plot of land through Sony, these gold sellers and stuff like that will have to be at a very compatible price. But on the other hand, if a lot of the times when there is a in-game marketplace that allows for this, gold spammers and stuff like that aren't too prevalent.
Well, it'll be definitely interesting to see.
Yep, again, those were just my thoughts and stuff. People probably have completely the opposite idea as well. But we'll just, unfortunately, we do, it's one of the other things that we kind of have to just wait and see. And the last bit of news from 2 weeks ago, notable news from 2 weeks ago, is that Bethesda was trying to talk with Microsoft to allow even non-Xbox Live Gold members to play their upcoming Elder Scrolls Online when it is released. Basically, right now, any games that have any type of online mode, multiplayer online mode in it, you have to have a gold account to play. Being that Elder Scrolls is an online game, you would need a gold account to play as of right now. So those on the Xbox One who want to play it will need the gold, as well as the gold account subscription, as well as the paid subscription to Elder Scrolls Online. This is kind of tossing me a little, I wonder why they're not doing with the PlayStation 4, because it is now required that you need the PlayStation Plus to play any online things, though the PlayStation Plus is a lot better, and I believe it's cheaper than the Gold account for Xbox One.
Interesting.
Unfortunately, again, and I guess this is going to be like my favorite tagline, we're going to have to wait and see.
Burn that tagline.
Sometimes I feel really, really sad for console players.
Because they get the short end of the stick most of the time.
Well, it's not that. It's, you know, they've got to pay for their internet. You know, the internet for their household. Then they've got to pay a subscription for, you know, your Xbox or your PlayStation. And then if they want to play Elder Scrolls Online, they've got to pay another fee. We on the computer are stuck with two. You know, online, you know, your internet fee, and then if you're playing a pay-to-play MMO, then you pay the $15 a month.
And this actually goes with a lot of things, but I mean, there's a few different things that you got to look into. Luckily, us, you know, what do they get out of a gold account or the PlayStation Plus? Right now, they actually get free games to play every so often. We don't get that anywhere. Though Steam does allow it every so often. It's on a weekend basis normally. And it's very, very, very rare. along with that, they get the voice chat, which is integrated. They get the video chat, which is integrated. They get the streaming things, which is integrated. All that stuff that is available needs a payment of some sort.
I know.
Now, if we want a voice chat,
I'm not looking at feature-wise. I'm looking at how much money they've got to shell out.
Well, it's the same thing as, you know, a normal gaming community on the PC. If a gaming community on the PC wants a voice chat, you have to look at the options. Yeah, we use Raid Call, which is a free one, but it is still in beta technically. Who knows if we'll have to pay for it later on. Along with that, you got Vent and Ventrilo and TeamSpeak and Mumble. And they are all paid unless you run it on your system, which that is another option that we have over them. But it takes a lot of resources, and again, you would have to probably up your internet, in which you would be spending more money on your internet.
Leaving your system running.
That too. So there's
electricity. Or designing a server and having it up and running for it at all times.
Yep. And then you need to know how to do all that stuff. So, I mean, it's a give and take on each side.
Mocha.
It's a give and take on each. He's saying make a server. But it's a give and take on each side, and unfortunately, you know, there's it's easier for them, but they have to pay more. But on the it's a little bit harder for us, and we get the benefit of paying less. So with that, that's the news from 2 weeks ago, and then we're gonna jump right into the news from this past week. We're going to start off with a game called Mighty Number 9. It is a classic game from the past that has been brought into the modern era and has entered the Kickstarter programming. Mocha, how long has this been in the Kickstarter program?
According to the articles I read, just joined the Kickstarter program this past week. And during that time, they had a targeted goal set of $900,000. But in less than a full 7 days, they have made a total of $1.25 million to kickstart this program.
Do they have any stretch goals?
They're looking at their next goal is 1.35 mil, and that's about it.
And what do you get for that?
That get the game, which is basically the old Mega Man, because the one that is actually producing this game is the guy that created the old Mega Man series.
Can I have a link to that article?
Games. I don't have it available
just
at this time.
Search Mighty Number 9 up.
Yeah.
Got it. I'm tired.
It's cool.
And the nice part about it is that the guy is going full out with it, and it looks like it's going to be it's a 2D scroller game.
Just
it has
like
the old classic style gameplay, the feel of old classic, but it's been brought up to the modern era with the graphics and the handling
wow.
and whatnot. So it looks like it's
yeah.
going to be pretty nice.
And they've hit 1.9 million.
As of now?
Yes, as of now.
Awesome.
Wow. See, that's an increase over the one that I just read, which was 1.25 earlier.
Their stretch goals are at 1.2 million, which they've reached. They're adding two more levels. 1.35 million, they're adding Mac and Linux versions. 1.5 million, they're adding New Game Plus and Turbo Mode. 1.7 million, making of documentary. 2 million, bonus Boss Rush Mode. 2.2 million, PS3, 360, Wii U versions. 2.4 million, Challenge Mode. 2.5 million, extra End Stage and Boss. Question marks for 2.9, question marks for 3.1. And then 3.3 million will be PS4 and Xbox One versions. And they have one final goal, which they haven't set a number for yet, or a price tag.
And just think, they just started just a little over 7 days ago in the Kickstarter program.
How much?
They have 21 days to go.
Okay, 21 days to go. Sounds
awesome.
I'm
going to drop $60 on this on Friday.
Cool. So, our next news is Battlefield 4 related. It apparently will have a mode for those of you out there who either don't know how to fly helicopters or jets, or would like a little bit of polishing up on your helicopter and jet flying. So if you wanted to try out and just never got to try because, you know, those tryhards out there yell at you for flying into the ground and stuff, now you can get your skills polished a bit up.
Hey, what's that supposed to mean?
You suck at flying helicopters.
Big time.
I don't think any of you guys have ever seen me play a helicopter game.
We've seen you fly one in Daisy.
Oh, yeah! What are you talking about? That was awesome.
If you like crashing into the ground all the time.
I would never crash into the ground.
Bullshit. Anyways.
Oh, I miss those days.
Euro Truck Simulator 2 is getting its first DLC. It is called Going East, and will add a number of European cities. That number will be 13. They include some in Poland, the Czech Republic, Hungary, and Slovakia.
Czechoslovakia, ooh.
Speedrunners.
Oh, I wonder if that's going to break my mods.
I don't know.
You have mods for European Truck Simulator.
Yeah, damn right I do.
Speedrunners is now available on Steam Early Access for only $10. Steam has added a new feature to its trading. It has something called trade offers now. What this allows you to
trading
do
cards?
Is for anything. And you can trade almost anything, remember that. But what this allows you to do is you get to look inside your friend's inventory. So basically, if you're thinking along Skyrim, your friend's walking next to you and you're just sneaking around and you're just like, looking's not illegal. But you get to look inside your friend's inventory to see what they have. And then you can make a trade proposal. So I'm going to trade you my Half-Life 2 card for your 50% off of Half-Life 3. And then you get it and you can accept it or change it or deny it completely. And what is really cool with this is that your friend does not need to be online in order for you to send this offer. So basically the next time they log on, they will get the offer. So if you're really itching for that Civ 5 card that you're missing for your completion and your buddy has it, now maybe you can toss him something that he wants. Paranocturnal Activity is now available on Steam Early Access. This game looks fun. It does look fun, to be honest. It looks a little weird, but it does look fun. But it is a voxel-based first-person shooter and is available for $10. Okay, well, with this one, I really don't know why it's still a topic, but apparently it has come up yet again. And the same answer prevails. Actually, I want to strike that one because I did look into it a little bit more as of when I was typing the notes. There is an exact reason why it came up, but Diablo 3, again, has been said that the PC is not getting an offline mode. What had happened was that...
The console version has it.
Yes, the console version, Xbox 360 and PlayStation 4, has an offline mode. So
that's
I'm guessing...
messed up.
Yeah. So, I don't know why the PC's getting the shunt on it or whatnot. Maybe they changed the architecture of the gaming system. Does anybody know if there's cross-console capabilities?
I don't think so.
I wouldn't think so either because...
I know I had heard something a while ago about Microsoft wanting to keep its community away from PlayStation players.
I think that's what it was. I now that I think about it, I think it had something to do with people don't like to play together nicely. So, and I'm not talking about the community. I'm talking about the companies themselves.
Will you be able to take your offline character and play online with it if you so choose?
I don't know. All I know is that there's an offline mode for it.
Because if that's the case, what's to stop me from keeping my Diablo save on a USB stick, taking it, modding it on my computer, putting it back on my Xbox, going online with it, and then offloading all my godly gear that I just tweaked myself using a PC editor.
They'd probably do something where you'd have your offline characters, and then if you wanted to play online, you'd have to make a separate character like they used to do with Battle.net.
I really don't know, but if anybody out there who is listening to this feels like answering this question for us, you can send us an email at funtimesgaming@gmail.com. We would greatly like to know this answer. There we are. So last week sometime, Guild Wars 2 released... Guild Wars 2 released an infograph. Apparently that's a little bit of old news, and I'm not going to everything that was on there. But it did boast some awesome stats. But this past week, RuneScape 3 has released one. Some of their stats include 220 million player accounts created in the 12 years that it has been around. There have been 1 million years in total gameplay. In 1 minute of gameplay, there are 208 bosses killed. 39 new players, 307 million XP is earned, 2,076 cows being killed, and 257 players died. So basically, in the time it takes me to get through this little segment of this infograph, 257 players died. I also, the one stat that I really find intriguing is that there are 60 gigabytes of bandwidth transferred per second.
Wow, interesting.
That is a ridiculous amount of digital transfer.
Uh-huh, that it is.
The last DLC, for Call of Duty Black Ops, which is called Apocalypse, will be coming out on September 26th for the PC as well as the PS3. Remember, Xbox gets it 1 month early. Ghost Recon Online will be holding its first tournament. That starts on September 15th. And our last bit of general PC news and general news altogether... is something that I believe Mr. Borador has been waiting for quite a long while.
Huh?
State of Decay will be coming to Steam Early Access.
Oh, yay!
Within the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I know. I heard about that the other day. I was happy. But it just sucks that the initial Early Access release is controller only.
Aw, boohoo.
That just means I gotta hook up my old Fable 3 controller.
So now we're on to console news, which is flooded with Xbox One news. So for those of you who do not want to know any Xbox One news, I do unfortunately say that there is quite a bit of that. With console news today... We are starting with XCOM. Apparently, XCOM Enemy Within, the DLC for Enemy Unknown, is too big to be put on as a DLC for the PS3 and the Xbox. The only way that these systems will be able to get the DLC is a full new release. And it will include the Enemy Unknown, the Slingshot, the Elite Soldier add-ons, as well as the expansion Enemy Within. It's probably going to wind up being full price, and I do feel bad for those of you who have already bought the Enemy Unknown for those systems, because now you got to have to buy the whole thing again.
Scotty, I need more power!
Square Enix seems to have another Final Fantasy trick up their sleeves. This time... possibly in the form of the 3DS. On August 27th, they have registered a U.S. trademark for a Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy Curtain Call. Now, Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm. Yes, Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm is a current game for the 3DS system. It's basically a music-based game where you kind of touch the screen and you do things almost like a DDR kind of S game where you're hitting notes as the game goes on. But you have like the screens of old Final Fantasy games playing, which actually I have, and it is quite awesome.
It's not set to Final Fantasy music?
It is set to Final Fantasy music. It is all Final... Basically, if you're going... If you're playing the Final Fantasy 1, you see screens of Final Fantasy 1 to the Final Fantasy 1 games, and it spans from Final Fantasy 1 to Final Fantasy, like, 12 or 13. Though it is actually... though it may not actually be... a 3DS game or a game at all, we have to wait and see. It's kind of have to, you know, it's just been registered. Now, starting with the Xbox One news, your reputation scores on the Xbox 360 will not be carrying over to the Xbox One.
What?
Yep, that you're going to have to gain your reputation all over again.
Well, it's a good thing I'm not planning on getting an Xbox One. But, I mean, you know, with a gamer score of over 40,000, it's
not gamer score,
sad to see that
gamer reputation.
Who the hell gives a shit about reputation?
The little 5 stars or 4 stars or 3 stars or even 1 star if you're a douchebag. Yes, that's going away. The ones that nobody ever cares about.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next thing is that the Xbox One at launch will not support external storage. There is no date when this will be available, though it is definitely something that they want to happen. And the Xbox One now has a release date. This release date is November the 22nd. More Xbox One news. It seems that this time the Xbox One is actually... outbeating the PS4 this time. The Xbox One can connect up to 8 controllers, so the PS4 can only support 4. And this is kind of funny because as of right now, the current systems, the PS4 can actually hold 7 controllers or devices, and the Xbox can only hold 4. So I'm kind of wondering why there's a little flip-flop there. Maybe Sony knows something about
Microsoft
Xbox.
Microsoft figured they got to beat them in something.
Then again, I kind of feel that Sony has a figuring that, you know, they never used their 7 controllers for anything. So maybe Sony's just like, you dumbasses. But yes, we just can't seem to get away from these Xbox One these days. Again, more news with that. Apparently, they're updating their CPU speed as well. It was supposed to be 1.6 gigahertz and it is now 1.75 gigahertz. I can probably say that this is a better upgrade from their measly 53 megahertz that they boosted on their graphics card earlier, August sometime. The more Xbox One news, but in regards of games this time, Best Buy is offering a $10 upgrade for select Xbox One games. Basically what this means is, and it's kind of confusing, so bear with me, if you buy the Xbox 360 version of the following games, which include FIFA 14, Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag, Call of Duty Ghost, Battlefield 4, and Watch Dogs, you're going to receive a $10 coupon. This $10 coupon is for the same game of the Xbox One counterpart. So if you take this coupon along with the game that you bought, they're going to give you $40 for the trade-in of that game and the $10 coupon, which equals out to $50. And it'll bring the total price of the Xbox One game down to $10, but that is only if the game's will be 60, and that we will have to wait to see. There has been no announcement of what the prices are going to be locked in for the new console generation. Along this, I believe Amazon has started this $10 upgrade program, and the Microsoft Store has jumped along on board along with this $10 upgrade thing. So for all of you people who are not going to get the Xbox One right away and are kind of sitting on the back burner, Microsoft says, the exec says that the Xbox 360 still has about 3 years of life left in it. So for an eight-year-old console, with the added 3 years, I do believe that's a pretty good lifespan for a console.
Not bad.
Yep. Now, actually, you know what? Hold on. And our last bit of Xbox One news. Apparently, the Xbox may be getting backwards capability. Apparently, using the cloud system that Xbox One has, there may be a way for the games that are out on the 360 to be played on the Xbox One. They, I believe, are currently testing this, and it will have to be seen and waited for. It is something that won't be coming out soon, because they're going to have to see like cost effectiveness and such. So, yeah, there's a possibility for that. And our last bit of console. Yes? Yeah, about time. Definitely. And our last bit of console news is not necessarily console news. It's actually something along the line of, I would say, general news. But there was an unpaid intern by the name of Chris Jarvis who worked for Sony. And he has sued them for, I don't know if that, yeah, I guess that's right, approximately $7,189.34. Basically, what had happened is sometime during his internship, instead of doing his typical interning duties, he was asked to work a shift from about 9:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. for 3 months as a tester for the studio's games that were in production. When he asked his boss for a tester's wage, he was told that his intern status basically made him a volunteer employee, and he did not get the wages he sought. There was a court date. Yeah, there was a court date that was set, but instead of going to court, Sony decided to opt out and settle with a counter that was actually more than what he was asking for. What he was actually asking for was in euros. I think they boosted it up by like 1,000 euros. What the actual conversion of that is, I really don't know. And that ends the news for this week. We're going to go into... Yes. We're going to quickly go into the upcoming releases. The releases fans from 9/10 to 9/16. On 9/10, there's the Sims 3 movie stuff. Kingdom Hearts, and that's on the PC, Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 Remix for the PS3, Puppeteer for the PS3, NHL 14 for the Xbox as well as the PS3, and Amnesia, A Machine for Pigs on Steam. On 9/12, you have Arklash Legacy on Steam. On 9/13, you have the King of Fighters 13 Steam Edition for the Xbox 360. No, that was a joke. That's on Steam. Nobody got that.
Yeah.
Swing and a miss.
Vulgar.
Rock out.
Yeah, that was bad. Sorry. Vulgar the Viking for Steam. Legend of Dungeon on Steam. Huntsman the Orphanage. I think that's supposed to be Huntsman the Orphan on Steam. I don't remember. But it's either Huntsman the Orphanage or Huntsman the Orphan. And that's also on Steam. And on 9/15, you have the Wonderful 101 for the Wii U. And with that, our podcast is done. Thank you for listening. You can find us on Twitter at FunTimesGaming. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/FunTimesGaming. Our community website is ftg.guildlaunch.com. Please join us in Final Fantasy XIV if you're playing. We are on the Adamantois server. You can find one of us three, or all of us, or two of us, whatever way you want to go. Borador's character.
You won't find me.
Yes, unfortunately.
And if you ever see me throw out a recruit message, just send me a message.
Or just whisper him. His character name is Borador Duran. Narmersil's character is Narmersil Ravenblood. And mine is Liana Swift Arrow. Subscribe, comment.
You might want to spell Liana.
L-I-A-N-N-A. I don't think that was that hard. But anyways,
you never know.
Or just ask for somebody from the Forest Guardians Guild. Free company, sorry. Follow us, like us, subscribe to us, and rate and comment on Podomatic at funtimesgaming.podomatic.com and also on iTunes. Just search up Fun Times Gamecast. You can find me on my Steam account at FTG Random Jack. You can find Borador there at FTG Borador, and you can find Narmersil at FTG Narmersil. Watch the streams at Twitch, on Twitch, at FTG Narmersil and FTG Random Jack. And with that, we will catch you all next week. Thanks for listening. Have a good one.
Later, players. Ta-da.
Pieces.
I thought I heard there is a possibility.
I ran over Sean on my chocobo.
Oh.
Ow.
Hey, want to see my chocobo? He's scary. Check it out.
He's tiny.
On 910, you have the Smurfs 3. Wow. Where did that come from?
I don't know. You're the one that's saying it.
Wow. There's nothing in his notes that have anything to do with the Smurfs. I don't know where the hell that came from.